ladies and gentlemen, welcome on In Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and I'm sorry I did not tell you all to play 100% James Paxton. I was a little wishy-washy on him because, like I said last night, I said it yesterday, he is capable of a massive ceiling, but he can also just blow up, melt down. So one of those nights for Jimmy Paxton, 16 Ks. He was just getting people to bite on everything. And he's that guy, man. When he gets going, he looks like he will strike out an entire team. Back to back. Good for him. I did not end up with any James Paxton in my lineups, if you can't hear that resignation in my voice. So it was an early night for me. I watched the Rockets Jazz. Early night. Just, you know, pack it in. Got a short slate today. Four games, and it could be three, honestly, with the weather that's in Chicago. So, you know, maybe you play a little afternoon slate. I'm going to cover the main slate, though, give you a quick game-by-game breakdown, talk through everything. Not going to go into the player pool. I'll tell you kind of how I feel about certain bats and pitchers here as we go through things. Of course, you know, Friday's the big slate, so we'll get into that breakdown later on, and that should be a lot more fun. We'll have a lot of games and options to pick from. So let's talk a little bit about this four-game slate. Take a look at tonight. First game of the night down in Texas, 9.5 run total. This is the highest total on the night. Makes good sense to me. Red Sox will be down there visiting the Rangers. It's David Price versus Mike Minor. 5.2 runs for the Red Sox to the Texas is 4.2. Obviously, Red Sox road favorites here against Mike Minor, and makes good sense. Minor has allowed a pretty serious hard contact. And David Price not looking as sharp as he did early in those starts in the season. So Texas implied for 4.2 runs themselves. Weather will be fine. A little bit of rain in the area, 30% chance of rain basically throughout. It'll be kind of threatening, I think. Who knows? That doesn't seem like it's enough to keep people out of here. It might be enough to push me off of David Price. David Price combined with the fact that, you know, he just hasn't been all that impressive in his last two starts. In fact, he has three starts. He's kind of 50-50 this year. Three starts where he looked lights out, looked very sharp. And then three starts, one, you know, versus the Yankees, he got absolutely destroyed. And then two starts where, you know, got into a couple innings, got in a little bit of trouble. Oakland game, you know, ultimately, I think he, you know, he allowed some hits. He allowed the base runners. He got a couple Ks. He got out of there alive, didn't put up a lot of fantasy numbers, but the Tampa Bay game did not look sharp at all. Four walks in that one and two dingers. So you always worry a little bit about which David Price is going to show up. I think the ceiling is seven innings and a couple Ks, you know, a solid quality start. But Vegas doesn't even like him for the quality start here. Texas implied for 4.2, and I don't mind that. I think that they're a little bit more contrarian, a little bit different than Boston. Obviously, we want to get the Boston bats involved here. The funny thing is this. You look at a guy like Mike Minor, you look at an offense like Boston, you go, oh, this is a no-brainer. You got to attack. And then you look at the numbers for Boston versus lefties. They're not good. They're not a good team versus lefties. In fact, they're second worst in the league, very similar to a team that's built to hit righties like a Milwaukee and the New York Mets, 28, 29, and 30, those three respectively. When you have a lot of guys who are capable lefties, capable lefties, you put up good numbers against right-handers. They have a 25% K rate and a 67 WRC plus versus left-handed pitching this year and 295 plate appearances. I'll wait for that to normalize. I think that they could probably rise to be about an average team against left-handed pitching. And obviously, you have guys who are capable of hitting lefties on this team. I mean, let's not be crazy. Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Eduardo Nunez all hit lefties. We know it. The numbers for Betts are off the charts right now. Only 9 appearances this year, 28 at-bats versus left-handers, but a 644 wOBA in that span, and 6 dingers. The guy's going to hit Mike Minor. I don't have a question about that. Right behind him, Hanley and JD looking just fine with their numbers. And Xander Bogaerts back in the lineup should help them too. I mean, I don't know if we've seen Xander on a main slate versus a lefty. This will be the first time. No problem with Nunez, even though he's slumping a little bit. And frankly, he's not playing that well. Doesn't bother me. I think he's a good hitter. I know he can get, you know, a couple RBIs and not leave you blank. And he's a middle infielder that is relatively inexpensive to a 3.4K for second base. Now, on the Texas side of things, I don't mind the righties. I don't love the righties. I don't mind them. You don't have the power that you once had in this lineup when you had, you know, a healthy Beltre and you had Carlos Gomez and stuff like that. So it's a little bit less appealing. I think you could get a cheap leadoff in Delino to Shields. That might be just about all I do. Maybe some Bob Chirios if he pops up earlier in the lineup. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, he's cheap too if you need a value. So wait for the lineup. Hopefully you get those guys kind of in the top five-ish. That would be kind of fun. Then you have a little bit of salary relief on the Texas side of things. And, you know, you're just kind of playing on the idea that maybe David Price gets, you know, gets in his head. Maybe somebody gets a dinger. You send in a couple runs. Minnesota versus Chicago. This is a 9-run total here. Jake Odorizzi pitching for the Twins and Reynaldo Lopez for the White Sox here. Twins favored by just a hair, 4.5 runs to the White Sox, 4.4. And, you know, neither of these pitchers particularly bringing the thunder, I guess is one way to say it. 22%, excuse me, not, I'm looking at the batted ball data. 19% strikeout rate for both of them, matching walk rates at 11%, both of them with XFIPs and Sierras just above or at 5. Great. I would love this game. Here's the problem with this game. Starting at 7 p.m., a 60% chance of rain that increases to a 90% chance of rain at 10 p.m. It's going to rain at guaranteed rate. It's going to rain. So unless that forecast improves, you're going to be dealing with some delays. You're going to be dealing with some issues. Obviously, it doesn't affect your bats as much as it affects your arms. But you got to get a better chance than 75% chance rain, you know, 75% chance of rain between 8 and 9 p.m. That's Bell's disaster. If they don't get this game started right at 7 because it's already raining and then the rain gets worse in the 8 o'clock hour, you're going to be looking at maybe a 10 o'clock start, and that's apparently when the rain's going to be at its worst. It's not going to happen. They're not going to play that game. They'll push it back. They'll do a doubleheader tomorrow or something like that, and they do that. They can do that at guaranteed rate. They have no problem doing a 1 o'clock, 5, 7 o'clock. So if we get this game, not touching the pitchers, nope, don't need it, not interested. Love, love, love the bats. Have all sorts of love for the lefty stack in Minnesota. We saw a really interesting lineup the other day with, you know, Grossman a little higher up, Max Kepler up there. He's at the 3 spot. You know, obviously that was because Brian Dozier was sitting out, but Eddie Rosario and Eduardo Escobar, very effective as well. So love that 4-man stack for a little bit of value. Throw Dozier in there if you can afford him. He's actually 3.5, which is a really nice price for Brian Dozier. So really good with all these guys. Even Logan Morrison, I don't mind Lomo as a cheap potential first base option. I think you can stack Minnesota any which way till Sunday. I'm very interested. Escobar and Rosario are just smacking the ball. I mean, they just keep trading homers back, you know, day after day. These guys, you see them popping up, getting going yard. On the White Sox side of things, you know, Odorizzi is what he is. He's not a great pitcher. He's going to allow a lot of fly balls, decent amount of hard contact, decent number of home runs. And if we want to attack this guy, we're going to attack him with some of these, we're going to attack him with some of the lefties, but I have no problem with going to the righties either. No problem going to the righties. He's walking righties. He's not really striking that many out. So obviously I want a good mix of power here to try and capitalize on that 50% fly ball rate. So, you know, Nicky Delmonico, okay, maybe fine, but Matt Davidson seems like an interesting option. Even Jose Abreu, Yoan Moncada, I'm interested in all of those guys. I want guys who can leave the yard against Odorizzi because we've seen White Sox games where they hit multiple dingers because they have multiple guys who can get a hold of the ball. So for me, it's really Moncada, Abreu, Delmonico, and Davidson. That's my top four there, and you get them in the top five of the order. No issue with that whatsoever. I think that would be a lot of fun. Got to play this game, though. You really need to get the forecast a little bit better before lock. And, you know, we have time. It's an 8 o'clock lock, so be patient. Wait for it. See what the forecast says. Maybe the Ryan, you know, moves out. A lot can change in you know, 8 or 10 hours, so we'll find out. Baltimore versus L.A. This is continuation of that series from last night. 8.5 runs here. Chris Tillman versus Jaime Barria. Forgive me. I don't know anything about Jaime Barria. This is the first time that I've had a slate where breaking down Jaime, the numbers are not good for young Jaime, however. and the key word being young Jaime there. Young fella is struggling. 12% K rate, 6.8 XFIP, 6.2 Sierra, fly ball rate above 50%. Hard contact is not there, and obviously it's a really, really pretty small sample size. He's only pitched two games and made it seven innings in those games. We're going to see more numbers from this kid. The reality is that the numbers right now are not great, okay? The numbers right now are not great, and he's struggling mightily with the right-handers. Manny Machado. On a short slate like this, you have an advantageous matchup against a bad pitcher. Manny's still hitting righties very well. I mean, do you want to look at Adam Jones and Chris Davis and some of these other guys? I guess it just none of these lefties are really hitting anything. And 3.5 runs for this team is not very much. So it's Manny for me. Maybe Pedro Alvarez. That's it. You can't really talk me into anybody else or sell me on that you have to have him. But Manny, I think, can get it done here in this situation, even against a righty, because Barria's number's not that great against righties, and Manny does hit righties. He hits righties just slightly worse than he hits lefties, so not an issue for me. Now, on the Angels side, almost 5 runs implied for them versus Chris Tillman. Makes good sense. We know Chris Tillman is going to probably struggle. We've seen this Angels lineup, though, just not really able to generate a lot of offense versus right-handers, and that's been an issue for them. Chris Tillman could change that. 5.8 Sierra, a 34% fly ball rate, nearly 40% hard contact. He leads the slate in hard contact rate allowed. And Tillman, if you're going to attack him, you've got to do it with the lefties. The issue is we don't have any lefties. We don't have lefties that he can't strike out lefties. He's got a negative K to walk ratio when it comes to the left-handers. We have Luis Valbuena. We have Cole Calhoun. They're buried below these righties. If they get up if they get up 5-6, I'll play them. 7-8, not that interested, really. I unfortunately not that interested in that situation if they're that low in the order. Obviously you can play Mike Trout. I'm not going to stop you from playing Mike Trout, and I'm not going to stop you from playing whoever's leading off. If it's Kinsler, okay. Not my favorite, but I don't mind it. As for Ohtani, this is the split to do it. I mean, versus righties in the middle of the order, I think you have to consider him part of your batter lineup. I mean, you really do. He's 3.8K. It always feels strange to me to say that, a pitcher in this, I guess it's just, we've never really seen this in DFS. But yeah, I mean, this is the one split that you want to do it. He's going to start versus a mediocre righty at home, probably batting fifth. I think you can consider him part of your Angels stack. I mean, he's been unbelievable. 481 WOBA versus right-handers this year. Obviously, pretty small sample there. Decent K rate, not anything obscene. But his OPS is over 1,000. That's not going to stay that way or anything. We know that. But the guy hits for power, and this is the spot. I mean, 11 RBIs this year versus right-handers. So I think if you're going to play him here. And feel comfortable doing it, because this is the one time he would smack and try to get some of those lefties. I mean, maybe it's like a Trout, Ohtani, and then Valbuena type situation. That doesn't bother me, and I think you're probably going to actually be able to save a little bit of money if you get you know, Cole Calhoun or Valbuena in the six or something like that. It's not ideal, but it's kind of an interesting way to go to be a little bit different. Oakland, Seattle, 8 runs here. Manaea versus LeBlanc, classic. Manaea favored here, 3.8 runs for the Mariners, 4.1 for the A's. And listen, last night this was supposed to be a game, 3-2, it ends up, of course, James Paxton with the no decision. What a silly stat, wins and losses for pitchers, no decision. Like, come on. It has nothing to do with the quality of game that he pitched. He did not. Game got given up later on, not by him. So, very, you know, silly to think about. But anyhow, Manaea versus LeBlanc. Manaea, he just cruised in that most recent outing that he had against Houston. 7 Ks, 7 innings, didn't even give up an earned run. The run that was given up was not on him. 4 hits, he was phenomenal. 3.1 xFIP through that game. Really had a nice outing. And, you know, and just before that, he went a full game shutout against Boston. 10 Ks, 9 innings. An absolutely, you know, that gem of a no hitter. So, you know, we have to like Manaea here. He's hot. He's pitching really well. Something is clearly working for him. Let me see if I can look at the pitch types here, see if he's changed anything in those most recent outings. No. Numbers are right there. 50% of it's going to be his four-seamer. He's going to throw his slider as his third pitch, and his changeup is his primary second pitch. Pretty straightforward approach for this guy. 3 pitches that he's hammering. And obviously, you know, he probably has some variations on those, but he's hammering those 3 pitches, and it seems to be working for him very, very well. I like him here. I really do. Against the Mariners, you know, Mariners not a bad team versus right-handers. Certainly top 10 offense versus is right-handers, and you definitely have some guys in this lineup that you, or excuse me, versus left-handers. You have some guys in this lineup that you worry a little bit about. You know, they're a top 5 offense, like I said. You do worry about Nelly Cruz. You worry about Ryan Healy. He was a guy that, you know, went yard last night. I had a lot of Ryan Healy, which was nice. Didn't help very much. But, and of course, Gene Segura, the numbers are there for them versus lefties. But Manaea's pitching really, really well. I think he's probably one of your better options on this slate. I'm not, you know... Yeah, I really do. I mean, this is one of the only other teams implied for fewer than 4 runs beyond the Orioles. And I think the Orioles are just getting that number because they're bad and you're expecting a bullpen game from the Angels. So I don't know. As for LeBlanc, you know, it's good to see Wade still flirting around the league here. You know, he's been a little bit of a journeyman, 10-20% K rate, swinging strike rate down there at 7. He's not walking anybody. He's just kind of soaking up innings, doing a fine job, 3.8 Sierra. You know, I mean, whatever. He is what he is. He's not giving up. He's this year, the fly ball rate is elevated. The hard contact right there at about 30%. Not anything insane. He's not good, but if he gives you 5 solid innings, then he's doing what his job is here. Obviously, you want to attack him with some righties. I like this Oakland lineup versus righties. I don't think that they're going to swing. I don't think old Wade has quite the stuff that Mr. Paxton does. So I'm good with the Semien, Pinder, Lowry, 1-2-3, even 1-2-3-4, add Davis there. Matt Chapman hitting lefties well also. So a lot of guys that you can feel comfortable going to in this Oakland lineup. They get productive and they get going. Those stacks work because they just string together runs. They steal bases. They do work on the base path. So no issue with any of those guys. All of them in the top half of the order. All of them with wOBAs well above 300. Lowry, Semien, Chapman, Pinder, Kanha. I always forget how to say his name. He's been good. He's been good too. He's a cheap outfielder, 3,400, not particularly, but fine. If you get him up in that 6 hole, maybe over Matt Olson, that would be really nice. So yeah, go ahead and load up on Oakland. I feel good about Oakland always, you know, but that's just this bent of this podcast. So, if I were to step back and rank some of my favorite pitchers, it's probably going to be Manaea, followed by David Price, just because I think Texas will actually swing. He could get on track here. He's got the ability to get on track. And that's it. I just don't. Minnesota's offense, I think, could get it done against Lopez. He would be the. Odorizzi maybe strings together a couple strikeouts, but I want to play the White Sox. As far as offenses go, I'm looking probably at Boston as my favorite stack, obviously, pretty chalky on this slate. I like Oakland, probably is the second option. And then Minnesota and Chicago tied for third, and Minnesota and Chicago would probably be my second favorite options, you know, kind of in, and I mentioned them together 'cause I like that game in general. I think it has the ability to be a higher total than the 9 runs implied. If the weather is improved, like if we get a good weather report, you know, the rain chances are down to the 30-40% chance, by lock, then I'm going to start to lean more towards Minnesota and Chicago here. I think that could be a fun game where you see some balls leave the yard. And guaranteed rate, we forget, good hitters park, good place to get home runs. So that's where I'm at. You're not going to have a lot of ways to be different on this slate. I think it's just going to be about finding the right combinations, you know, and figuring out which one of these pitchers is not going to leave in the fourth. Really, I mean, that's what it is. And that's that to me. I think Manaea is the safest bet, and I think he will be very popular. And I have no issue with going with Manaea. I think he's been strong, even though the Mariners offense looks good by the numbers. Manaea has been better by the numbers. So feel comfortable going to him in this situation. That is it for me. Going to get you guys a Friday breakdown here this evening. Look for it. We always know the Friday breakdown comes out a little bit early. Patreon.com/lineuplogic for our subscribers to get involved with the cheat sheet and all the MLB tools. Guys, good luck in your contests. I will talk to you later.